Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our two-part study of Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, titled, A Little Leaven Leaveneth the Whole Lump.
And I'm not naming names because I haven't done the investigation. I don't have all the materials here to prove it, so I try to be very careful and only name names and say things when I can back it up. I am the credible Hulk. Amen? That's it. Or incredible bulk. Well, anyway. But I could name the names and tell you the churches and ministries, there's a church and school and everything. From the top down, leaders, some of them charged with criminal charges, others losing their families, all because it comes back to from the very beginning, those people did not believe a biblical gospel. And there's a large number of people who were involved in those ministries who have come out and said, I got saved when I realized I wasn't even saved. And I got the truth and I turned to God with repentance and I had a born-again experience. You have an experience, but it's because of doctrine, not the other way around.
Yes.
Sound doctrine produces experience, not the other way around. So we don't chase the experience. But if you repent of your sin and your nature and your lack of belief or false beliefs, and you'll turn to God with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have a born-again experience.
Amen.
I've always wondered. When I got saved, man, I knew I was a hellion. I knew I deserved hell. I was a sinner who needed saved. I mean, everybody needs saved, but I knew I needed saved. And when I got saved, I knew it. I had an experience. It's just something happened in me right there and then. I knew God had come in and taken the old Greg and I was born again.
Amen.
Everything changed even though Greg was still imperfect and still like a little baby walking around sticking his finger in the light socket and all that stupid stuff. But even with that truth, I was still changed and I wanted my Father to take me by the hand. I wanted Him to lead me. And when He smacked my hand and kept me from sticking it in the light socket, I appreciated it.
Amen.
Something changed.
Amen.
But there's a lot of people out there today who have believed the facts in their head and they have not experienced change. That is a scary proposition.
Amen.
Paul used this same terminology when it comes to compromise. Real quick, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read a few verses as we get toward the end of this. But just want to show you, this isn't in Galatians the only place Paul uses this terminology. And I mentioned earlier, it's both sin and unbelief. And in Galatians, what you're dealing with basically is unbelief. People who believe wrong. They have added works to salvation, added circumcision and all that sort of thing. But here in Corinthians, it was dealing with sexual sin. Read, beginning of verse 1 of chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And that ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? There you have, it's a matter of what they are believing and teaching in Galatians. Here it's a matter of sexual immorality.
Amen.
And in both cases, leaven is it refers back to the act of sin here and the unbelief in Galatians. And I'm here to tell you that's what the gospel is dealing with as well. It's not just your unbelief, but it's what you are, a a woeful, lost, wretched sinner, depraved. You have nothing in you that makes God want you. It's not what's in you. It's the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, and that if you will repent toward God with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit will come into you.
Amen.
And at that point, you become the same as His child. God will look at you just like He looks at Jesus, because His Spirit is in you.
Amen.
And it involves not only what you believe about Jesus, but what you believe and how you view yourself as a wicked sinner. And if you will not turn from that, you cannot be saved.
Yeah.
You hear the word a law, you have to be lost in order to be saved.
Amen.
You won't hear these guys say that such thing. They don't care about it. The fact about you knowing you're lost, knowing you're a sinner, they don't bring it up. I listened to a guy the other day teach on this. He was basically defending himself and mocking those who preach repentance. And he was saying his way of winning souls. And by the way, I'll say this again. You're not called to win souls.
Amen.
There is one place in the Bible that says, "He that winneth souls is wise," and it has nothing to do with preaching the gospel. And if you think you're going to win somebody, you've already put something on your shoulders that you can't do.
Amen.
We are to preach the gospel. That's it. You preach the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, you present it in its fullness. And if a person won't get it, won't receive it, oh well, I'm sorry, that doesn't mean you water it down. So these guys go around and they'll find somebody and they'll say, "If you were to die right now, do you know whether you'd go to heaven?" You hesitated, so that tells me you don't know. Okay, well, would you like to go to heaven? Well, yeah, I'd like to go to heaven. Well, will you trust in Jesus that He died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and say this prayer with me? Okay. "Dear Lord, dear Lord, I thank You for saving me. I thank You for saving me. You died on the cross, was buried and rose again. You died on the cross and was buried and rose again. And I believe that You have saved me. I believe You saved me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen." And they will give that person full confidence that they're now saved. Didn't mention sin. Didn't confront the person with their condition.
Amen.
Didn't tell them that Christ died for our sins. And listen, I listen to these guys over and over give that play by play. That's how they are supposedly winning souls. I'm here to tell you, they're damning souls.
That's right, brother.
Amen. You either preach the biblical gospel or it is to no avail.
Amen.
There's no power.
You think you got to make it easier for people to get in? I'm sorry. It's as easy as it gets. You just have to receive the Word of God. And when the Word of God says you're a sinner, you better receive that. And the Word of God says you're lost, you better receive that. The Word of God says you're going to hell, you better receive that. The Word of God says God came in the flesh to die for your sins, you'd better receive that. When the Bible says He was buried and on the third day He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, you better receive that. And if you will, then God will give you repentance and faith. You will believe on Him and you will be saved.
Amen.
There's no other version of the gospel.
Amen.
You cut any of that out, you just sent somebody a false gospel. And that's what's going on today. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You remove repentance from the gospel, or you add baptism to the gospel, or you add church attendance to the gospel, you add anything to the gospel, you subtract anything from the gospel, you've added leaven. It's as simple. Why is this so difficult? Just get it right and stay there. Amen? Isn't it that easy? Look, real quick, a couple of verses and we'll close. The simplicity is 2 Corinthians 11:3. It says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, And that's how this whole thing works that we've been talking about. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's how Satan works. Subtly and removing the simplicity. And it is simple. And I've had people even turn and say, well, you're complicating matters. It's much more simple than you're making it. No. It says that you can be corrupted from the simplicity, but if you think it's, even in its simplicity, it's got to be watered down, then there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
There's something wrong with your message. It is simple enough. I just gave it to you with one breath. It's a very simple matter. And any honest man or woman knows what I said is true. You know you're a sinner. And you know that when Jesus died on the cross, it was for your sins. And you know when He resurrected from the dead, He conquered sin and death.
Amen.
Was that simple enough?
Amen.
And believing that, you're saved. The ministry is described by Paul in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. These guys we're talking about this morning want to hack that in half and only have the faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, defining faith as something in the mind and not in the heart. They are anti-biblical in their ministry. The power, according to Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But if you take the gospel and you neuter it, then it no longer has the power.
Amen.
And that's what's being done. But if you take the biblical gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation. So you better preach the biblical gospel. And that gospel is laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, when he says, but moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Now watch this. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I'm here to tell you, people who have believed in vain, that means that they did not truly believe in the biblical sense of the word, which are those who have no repentance. Now read verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And there you have it. A gospel that doesn't deal with sins is of no avail. It is a little leaven, and it leaveneth the whole lump.
Amen.
Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Stay the course. Folks, that's why Jesus said that wide is the way that leads to destruction.
Yeah.
But narrow is the gate that leadeth to life. And few there be that go in thereat. Because few will believe the simple, plain, clear truth of the Word of God. And they're constantly efforts to change, to add, to subtract. And this morning, that's my admonition to you in light of everything you heard, but everything you know. Stay the course. Don't let them pull you away. And don't be impressed with numbers. You'll go to some churches, they'll have 500 people, 1,000 people, and everybody all looks happy and everything. Don't be impressed with that. What matters is what's really going on in their heart and what goes on the other 6 days of the week.
Amen.
And that's where you'll see the real bad fruit of someone who's preaching a gospel for numbers and not concerned with the truth. And I can't imagine, as a preacher, having that attitude. Really not caring. They don't. These men who preach this stuff, they don't care about you. They don't care about people.
No.
They care about themselves and their reputations and being able to boast and thump their chest. Great as is me, you know. Yeah, greater is me that is in me than you that is in you. I have a bad attitude about anybody who wants to brag even when they're preaching the truth. There's something wrong with that. It's not about me. It's not about us. About that book. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of your word. And I really believe and pray that to everyone in this room, we will not say it has availed nothing, because they have heard and also obeyed the truth that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died for our sins, was buried and rose again. And if any man will repent of everything, all that he is, all that he does, all that he believes, throw it aside and turn to you, believing on the death, burial, and resurrection as payment for sin and guarantee of eternal life, you will save that person right then and there. They will be eternally saved. And I pray that has happened in every life of every person in this room this morning. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. We look forward to being in heaven with you. In the meantime, Lord, help us to live with the right attitude. Help us to live with the joy and the peace that it's ours. Too many people forfeit that joy and that peace by simply being carnal, by simply refusing to live in your truth. And I don't know how many people in this room are doing that, but I think all of us are guilty from time to time. Help us, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a closing hymn over in 485 in your hymn book.
Give him your loyal devotion.
Once upon a time, there was nothing. That's right, nothing. And it exploded. You see, Darwinian science teaches that space, time, and matter are not eternal. So at some point, there had to be nothing. And since Darwinian science denies any sort of creator God, then we are back to nothing. But within this nothing, we are told that matter appeared from out of nowhere. So nothing produced matter from out of nowhere. But not just a little matter, but all the matter that ever has been or ever will be appeared in the form of a tiny speck. So let's start there. Once upon a time, long, long ago, there was a tiny speck. That's all there was. It came from nothing out of nowhere, and that's all there was. There was no space or time, just a speck, smaller than an atom. A speck that was so incomprehensibly dense with matter that it contained everything you see and do not see in the universe. Yet, it was so small that it could not be seen by the naked eye. But it was there. The priesthood of Darwin, that we call scientists, like to call this speck the cosmic egg. Not an egg laid by a cosmic chicken, but just a cosmic egg produced from nothing out of nowhere. But because this cosmic egg is so small, some have preferred to call it the cosmic pea. Others prefer some other name. So there it was, all alone. Our tiny little heavyweight universe, the size of a speck you could not see. Where did it come from? Who or what put it there? And if the universe did not exist except in the form of this tiny speck so small it could not be seen, where is there? What was this nursery that held our tiny little overweight universe in limbo from an unknown origin and for the duration of what could have been immeasurable numbers of billions or trillions of years? If space did not exist, but the cosmic pea was there, where is there?
Just a minute. This is an Airbus motor. Be on the lookout for there. It was there, but we don't know where. Over.
And who or what put there? There. And who or what is the who or what that put there? There. Let us just call the who or the what that put there, there, in order to place the cosmic P there by the name of it. We are to believe that it put the cosmic P in a place that was there even though there was nothing there. How could it have been there if there was nothing there? If you are beginning to feel lost, confused, or simply acquiring a headache, you should know that scientific inquiry must lead us even further into a time and a place where time did not exist and there was nothing there to call a place a place. So we are to believe that it made a place we call there that wasn't there, and placed the cosmic pea there, where nothing existed except this cosmic pea. The cosmic pea was a speck so small that it could not be seen by the naked eye, but it was there, and there is a place that did not exist, but was put there by a who or what we call it, since we have no idea who or what it is. And that, dear children, is the theoretical basis upon which the Darwinian theory of the origin of the universe rests. For obvious reasons, the Darwinians attempt to divorce the theory of the origin of species from the origin of the universe. But those of us who have not suspended logic and reason remain resolute to demand that they deal honestly and fairly with the fact that they believe and teach that something was there in a place that wasn't there, and that this something exploded and produced the wondrous, expansive, organized, and beautiful universe teeming with life and order that we now see. That is truly a fairy tale
for grown-ups. I don't know about you, but I don't have that much faith. I will continue to believe in the Creator God, whose name is Jesus.
Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.